Good morning, Crossville Church.
Good morning.
Thank you all for being here this morning. Happy Father's Day to the fathers. We appreciate you for being here as well. But we're glad to have everybody here with us. As I always ask, if you're joining us in person, please make sure that you check in on Facebook so your friends can know that you're here with us. And if you're watching on Facebook, please make sure that you comment and let us know that you're watching. Don't forget, there will be no evening worship tonight. We're giving you a pass. So you can, you know, cook Dad something nice. I cooked mine a hamburger yesterday, so I'm not going to tell you what you have to do, but do something nice for your dad if you can. But enjoy time with family this evening. And then, does anybody else know what we have going on this week? VBS. Very good. That was a test, so I had to make sure you all had paid attention or Mary was going to hunt you down. So, but we are very, very excited about Vacation Bible School. Mary and many others have been putting in countless hours to be ready for it. But we are very, very, very excited, and you know, to have Vacation Bible School, and appreciate everybody's efforts to help with Vacation Bible School last year, but then everybody to help that has signed up to help this year. So that is each evening. We're doing it a little bit different this year, so it is going to be every night rather than just a couple of days. The kids will love it, and I hope the workers can make it. So, no, it'll be a good time. So we are very excited, but it is from 6 to 8:30 each evening. If you are not able to help every night, Mary will be glad if you can show up at any time, and she will be glad to tell you where you need to go to help out. So just because you've not been able to go to the meetings and sign up does not mean that you cannot be plugged in wherever if you have some time this week to help out. As such, we will not be having Super Summer Something this Wednesday evening. We'll not be having a service, a normal service. You know, we'll just be having Vacation Bible School. But if you get real itchy and want something to do Wednesday night, you can come help in the kitchen or come help lead a kids group or tell Bible stories or something. So feel free to show up Wednesday night. But we're excited about this week. Thank you for everybody who has brought in crisis care kits, both for everyone who brought them in to help with Ukraine several months ago, but we are collecting them again through the beginning of July to be able to take to district assembly with us in mid-July, and we're going to keep those here on the district for disaster response. So we are glad to be able to have those. This is something we've not had in the past when we had the tornadoes in Bowling Green or different things like that, so we're glad to have some of these close at hand to be able to take to local natural disasters as they occur. So the list and the bags are out in the foyer if you've not had a chance to do that. We will not be having a sign-up sheet for Bread of Life out there for the month of July like we normally do. We are just going to be taking up donations to provide for the meal. So we have a $200 goal for the offering. So if you would like to provide some funds for that, please just drop them in the offering plate and mark them for Bread of Life, and we'll make sure they get to the right place. But that is what we're going to be doing for Bread of Life in July. Now, obviously not this Sunday, not next Sunday, but 2 weeks from today, it will be July, and that will be July 3rd. And so we are calling it Freedom Celebration Sunday. We're going to have a big 4th of July bash. We are very excited because we have the Kentucky Mountain Bible College singers, or the trio, are going to be here for Sunday morning worship. So they're going to be singing for us. Then we're going to have a big cookout in the afternoon. The church is providing the hamburgers and hot dogs. But we ask you to bring along whatever you would like to have at a picnic for the 4th of July. So that can mean whatever it wants to for you. So, macaroni salad, potato salad, all kinds of bags of chips, banana pudding, you know, whatever you all would like. I just kind of snuck that in there. Apple pie, you know, whatever. So just bring some items to share, and we'll look forward to a good celebration of for lack of a better term, how good we have it here, and for our freedom, and for just how blessed we are, and it'll be a good time of fellowship. So don't forget about that on Sunday, July 3rd. As always, there are many other items in the newsletter. Please don't forget to be reading over that each Friday. If for some reason you're not receiving that, let the church office know. Also check your spam folder. We have had some trouble with that, but there are many other things going on, and we don't want you to miss out on any of them. Thank you all for your faithfulness in giving and your faithfulness in attendance to support the church.
Happy Father's Day! We use many words to describe our dads. Loving, caring, strong. But what about funny? Do you consider your dad funny? What? So Here are some of our dads showing us their funny side.
What time of day was Adam created? A little before Eve.
Who is the greatest babysitter in the Bible? David. He rocked Goliath to sleep.
Who was the greatest comedian in the Bible? Samson. He brought the house down.
What do you call a laughing motorcycle? A Yamaha.
Who was the smallest person in the Bible? Nehemiah.
Why do chicken coops only have two doors? Because if they had four, it would be chicken sedans.
What do you call a fish with knees? A tuna fish.
What did the classmates say when asked why they kept walking next to the same person at school? I was told I'm supposed to walk by faith.
Need an ark? I know a guy.
Thank you to all the dads that helped out there. I just love corny jokes. I just think that's wonderful. That's my type of jokes there. But in all seriousness, thank you, fathers, and all the father figures out there for all that you do. We love you guys. At the end of the service, Pastor will call all the dads up. He's going to pray over you, and then we have a small gift for you guys. But happy Father's Day.
Aren't you glad that He does know our name?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that He hears us every time we call?
Yeah.
Praise His name. This morning, we're swapping roles. And I'm going to be leading worship. The song that we're just about to sing, I heard about 4 years ago. And you may not know it. I put out yesterday on Facebook the songs we were going to sing in hopes that maybe you'd see it and kind of learn it. But the name of it is Good, Good Father. Every church in the United States will be singing this song today, maybe. It may be new to you. And it was real new to me the first time I ever heard it. And at first I didn't like it. But the more I listened to it, the more it spoke to me. So that's the reason we're singing it today. It's because I got to pick the music. And let's stand. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for this opportunity to gather here in Your name. We're grateful, Lord, to honor our fathers. But we have come here this morning, Lord, in order that we might honor our Heavenly Father. And so I ask You, Lord, that as we sing and we worship You, that You, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, would come and speak to us, and that we would receive from You what You have to say to us through the songs, through the message, every part of this service. You do love us. You care so much about us. You cared so much that you came and You died. We don't understand that kind of love. But we are so thankful, Lord, this morning that we can be participants in what You have done. You are indeed our good, good Father. And You do love us. That is who You are. That is who we are. Bless us as we worship You. In Jesus' name.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think You're like. I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and You tell me that You're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who You are. It's who You are. It's who You are. And I'm loved by You. It's who I am. Who I am. I've seen many searching for answers, far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only You provide, 'cause You know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who You are. It's who You are. It's who You are. And I'm loved by You. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Perfect in all of Your ways. You are perfect in all of Your ways. You are perfect in all of Your ways to us. You are perfect in all of Your ways. You are perfect in all of Your ways. You are perfect in all. Undeniable, I pray. burst still into love. Love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy name. Blessed ever before. O my soul, I worship Your holy name. And on that day, and on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near and the time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name. I will worship Your holy name. I need You more. I need You, Lord. I need need you, Lord. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side, 'cause I never wanna go back to my old life. I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
And Father, we're grateful that we have this opportunity to gather here in your name. We're grateful, Lord, for your word that speaks to us. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It does its work in our hearts. You have determined a purpose, and your word is not going to return to you void. And so we're thankful, Lord, that in this time that we have together this morning, that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, can anoint and can help and can say exactly to us what we need to hear this morning. I pray, Lord, for Pastor Tyler as he's going to come here in just a moment to minister to us through the Word. I ask you, God, that you would bless him, that you would fill him fresh and new. And Lord, may he say those things that you would have him say. And then, Father, I pray that you'd give us hearts and lives and ears that are willing to listen and to do and to be what you want us to be. I pray, Lord, for those of our congregation who need your physical touch today. Pray that you would touch them, lift them up. May they even now know that people are praying for them and are believing God for their healing. For other needs that are represented here in this sanctuary and that are represented either online or in various places, may you touch and help and have your way. We love you and we thank you and we praise you for what you are going to accomplish. We thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of your people. We ask you that you would bless in every part of this service. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 is what we're going to read together this morning. And it says this. It says, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, 'The Lord knows those who are His.'" I want to share some statistics with you real quick this morning before we get started. According to Lifeway Research Group, Father's Day is the holiday with the single lowest average church attendance. On the flip side, Mother's Day is the third most attended holiday of the year, right behind Easter and Christmas. Father's Day is statistically lower than Memorial Day, Labor Day, and even July 4th. There could be other factors involved, including travel and time of year. With Mother's Day, school's still in, and so you can't go too far. Father's Day, it's summertime, so people are traveling, and whatever have you. But here's what's interesting to me. With all the other factors aside, what really is striking are the statistics that show the impact of dad's faith and practice on their family. According to some data that was collected by Promise Keepers and Baptist Press, if a father does not go to church, even if his wife does, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. If a father does go regularly, regardless of what the mother does, between two-thirds and three-fourths of the children will attend church as adults. If mother does not go to church but father does, a minimum of two-thirds of their children will end up attending church.
In contrast, if a father does not go to church and a mother does, two-thirds of their children will end up not attending church as adults. And another study shows this. If a child is the first person in the household to become a Christian, there's a 3.5% chance that the rest of the household follows. 3.5%. If mom is the first person to become a Christian, there's a 17% chance that the rest of the household follows. Do you want to know what the percentage is if dad is the first person to come to Christ? 93%. 93% chance. If dad comes to Christ first, the rest of the household will follow. This morning, I want us to take a look at a song. It's an old hymn, and it was written in 1787. The author of this hymn is actually unknown, but it was published by a guy named John Rippon. It was sung at the deathbed of Andrew Jackson and the funerals of Robert E. Lee and Theodore Roosevelt. It was also sung by some U.S. troops that were stationed outside of Havana, Cuba, in the late 1800s on Christmas Eve. And as the clock rolled over to the early hours of that Christmas Eve, you could hear the words ringing out through the streets of Havana. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. This song, How Firm a Foundation, is probably, honestly, my favorite hymn. There's so much packed into this. Six verses, and in those six verses, there's a whole lot of information to unpack. So together this morning, we're going to do just that. The first verse says this, How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2 says, I will quietly wait before the Lord, for my victory comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. See, this first verse tells us that a foundation has been laid for us. And that foundation, it says, is laid in His excellent word. We have a foundation, and that foundation is Scripture. And then it goes on to say, what more can He say than to you He has said? Here's what happens in the world that we live in today. There are a whole lot of voices saying a whole lot of things, and that's even true within the church, right? Even inside the church, we hear a lot of people telling us a lot of different things and saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, right? But that's not always the case. This is telling us that everything that we could possibly need to know to found our lives on is found within the Word of God. He says, what more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? That always has interested me. Because kind of what the implication is here is, He's saying, look, you're the one that came to me for shelter, and now you don't want to listen to what I have to say to you. That's kind of what the message is here. You're the one that came to me. Why in the world are you doubting what I'm telling you? You're the one that wanted me to tell you something. Why is it that you're not getting it? I will wait quietly before the Lord, for my victory comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. And that's exactly what we have to do. We have to wait quietly and allow the Lord to fight our battles for us. The second verse says this, and this is probably one of my favorite verses in the whole song. Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. In the first chapter of the book of Joshua, we see that there's a transition taking place. And Joshua has found himself suddenly in charge of this entire nation. Now, Joshua was comparatively young. He was like allegedly somewhere in his 60s or 70s. Moses was nearly double that, so you can take that for what it's worth. If you're in your 60s or 70s, then you were younger than Moses. So, anyway, Joshua, comparatively young to Moses, finds himself suddenly in control of an entire nation, and God in that first chapter, tells Joshua a whole bunch of times, listen, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, because I'm with you. But specifically in verse 9, he says this. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This morning, the thing that we need to understand, like these statistics show, is if the home is going to be founded on Christ, then it's dad's responsibility, right? It's time for dad to man up and be the man that God has called him to be. But that sometimes is not always easy. In this verse here, it says, fear not, I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. He says, look, I'm your God in the good times. I'm your God in the bad times. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter the battles that you are fighting. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. I'm reminded of the words of the prophet Isaiah, where he says he gives power to those who are powerless, right? He allows them to mount up with wings like eagles, because he's a God who doesn't grow weary and doesn't grow tired. I'll tell you right now, as a dad, even before I was a dad, I got tired. And it just to be honest, when you throw three little tornadoes into the mix, that kind of works a little more on the tiredness. That kind of cuts into some of the sleep time, right? Allegedly, I've been told it gets better as they grow older. We've yet to reach that point, but we're getting there. What I'm saying is this, though. God has called us as fathers, not just as fathers, as mothers, as grandmothers, as aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, everything in between, to turn to him for our strength. I will strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. And then the third verse says this, when through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. I'm going to stop right there for just a minute, because this is interesting to me. It says, when through the deep waters I call thee to go. It gives the indication that God is the one that's pushing us through these deep waters, right? Now, I don't know about you, but that sometimes maybe doesn't fit into my view of God. When I come up to this deep place in the river that I need to cross, I don't think, yeah, God's the one that brought me to this, and he's the one that's trying to push me through this, and I'm probably going to drown, but it must be a God thing, so we'll just see what happens, right? I swim similar to a rock. Like, you throw me in the water, and I just go straight to the bottom. I can flail around enough to kind of keep my head above the waves, but that's about it. He says, when through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. Isaiah chapter 43 says this, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you or called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. See, this is the promise that we have. When we come to these deep waters, when we come to these rivers of sorrow, they're not going to overflow us. Why? Because God has called us by name and we are his. That's the promise here. He says, I've called you by name, you're mine, and because I've called you by name and you're mine, you can pass through the deep waters without being overflowed. It's not anything that we can do in our own power. We need to understand that. That's not what it's all about. It's about trusting in God and allowing him to carry us through the river. Like I said, I can't swim, and without God's help, it's going to be what it is. I can try to cross through the deep waters, but I can promise you it's not going to work out. Unless you've got a little John boat or something, it's not looking good for the home team for me, I'll just tell you. But that's what God is. He's the John boat that says, hey, I'm going to get you through these deep waters. Verse 4 says this, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame will not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. I think about the three Hebrew children when they stood before Nebuchadnezzar, right? Sometimes as parents, as fathers, we have to stand in the face of the proverbial king and say, listen, I don't have to answer you in this matter. The God that I serve is able to deliver me. But even if he doesn't, I'm still not going to worship the God that you've set up. And that's becoming more and more prevalent in the world that we live in today. We need fathers, we need men who are willing to stand up and say, listen, in my house, this is how it's going to be. In my house, we're going to serve Jesus, and this is what it's going to look like. And I'm going to model that for you so that you know the path that you need to follow. And that's exactly what these Hebrew children did. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. The rest of them caved under pressure, right? The rest of them didn't have a firm foundation. And because they didn't have a firm foundation, they said, no, it's no big deal. We can bow to this king, and we can just carry on with life, and everything will be fine. This king doesn't have to know that we don't believe the same way he believes, right? We don't have to voice our opinions. We can just keep them to ourselves and still do our thing on our side of the fence, and it's no big deal. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood firm for what they believed in. They had morals, and they stood by their morals, and they were 100% committed to the cause. And they stood in the face of the king, even though the king said, look, here's what's going to happen. If you three knuckleheads don't bow down to me, I'm going to tie every one of you up, and I'm going to chunk you in a fire, right? And that's exactly what he did, because they wouldn't. But then, when they got thrown in the fire, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. When they got thrown in the fire, what happened? The ropes burned up and they came out and didn't even smell like smoke. That's what it's all about. Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you. And here's what we need to understand. My power, God is speaking here, my power is made perfect in your weakness. God says, look, when you come to this place where you've got to stand in front of the king and give account for things, when you come to this place where the rubber meets the road and life is a little tough, and it doesn't seem like it's something that you can accomplish in your own power, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. See, here's a fun fact. If we want to be honest, we're all just a bunch of cracked pots, right? We've got cracks here and there, but here's what those cracks are. Those cracks are a really good opportunity for God's power to shine through. That's what it's really all about. It says, the flame shall not hurt thee. Thy only design, thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. I don't know a whole lot about the refinement process for gold, but I do know a little something about the refinement process for silver. And here's how silver is refined. The silversmith puts that silver to fire, and what happens is they burn that silver, and it burns away all the impurities. And here's how the silversmith knows when the silver is at its very purest. When the silversmith is able to look into that cauldron and see his reflection shining back at him in the silver, that's when he knows that the silver has reached perfection. When he's able to see his image in that silver, then that's when he knows. He says, look, I've done something and this is great. The same is true for us. He says, I'm going to consume your dross. I'm going to take care of all the bad stuff, right? Burn all that junk away, and when my reflection is able to be seen in you, then you're getting somewhere. That's what he's saying. Here's another verse. Verse 5 says this, even down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And then when silver hair shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. Here's what we need to understand. I'll be honest with you. I'm 28. I'll be 29 in November, I think. Something like that. I don't know. After like 21, they just start running together, and I didn't really care anymore after that. So they told me I could get a handgun permit at 21, and that was really the only thing I had to look forward to. And after that, it was just like, whatever happens, happens. So 28, I think, is how old I am. But anyway, that is not completely relevant to this discussion. 28 years I've lived on this earth, but in those 28 years I can tell you this, he never has failed me yet. I have proven him true, what he says he will do. He never has failed me yet. Psalm 37 verse 25 says this, it says, I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, were their children begging for bread. I'll be honest, in 28 years, I've gone through some pretty tough stuff. I've probably gone through some things that maybe the average 28-year-old hasn't experienced. But even in those moments, even in the times when it seemed like that God couldn't be more distant, even when it seemed like that things weren't going to work out in my favor, even when it seemed like things weren't going the way they were supposed to be going and there was no hope for a favorable outcome, I can tell you this, God was still there working behind the scenes. And while sometimes it's hard to get that in your mind, sometimes it's hard to see that picture in the moment, I can tell you that's exactly what he does. He says, "The flames shall not hurt thee, and only design thy dross to consume thy gold to refine. Even down through old age, my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And then when gray hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born." This last verse says this: "The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake." Here's what Joshua has to say when he addresses the children of Israel. In chapter 24, verse 14 or 15, he says this. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether it's the gods your ancestors served beyond the river Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua gives the people an ultimatum. He says, look, if you want to serve those godless people, the God that those godless people are serving on the other side of the river Euphrates, or if you even want to serve the God of the land in that you're now living, more power to you. But I'll tell you who my house is going to serve. My house is going to serve Yahweh. My house is going to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My house is going to serve the God who is able to take all these other little g gods and squash them. That's who we're going to serve. And that's exactly what it takes for us as fathers. We have to come to the point where we say, it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. We've got other choices, right? We can serve the gods on the other side of the river. We can serve the gods in the land that we live in. But what we as fathers have to do is put our foot down and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My granddad bought a house one time. He bought it as a rental property, and when he bought it, we went in the basement, and there was some pretty significant damage to the foundation of the house. So much so that the foundation was bowing in from the pressure of the dirt on the outside. Now, I don't know if it was because somebody didn't build it right. I don't know if they didn't get a good footer. They didn't lay the block like they were supposed to. I don't know. I'm not a mason. That's not my thing. But what I do know is this. The process was kind of lengthy to get it all fixed. What happened was they had to go around the house, dig out around the foundation, take the pressure off of it, right? Go inside with some big old boards and some big old hammers and make a whole bunch of racket, smack it back into place, and then pour it full of concrete. And it was only after that wall was filled with something that was a little bit stronger that it was able to withstand the pressure from the outside, right? It's not that the pressure wasn't there anymore because the dirt got put back. They backfilled it, and it's you can't even tell that it's been dug up now. But because that wall was poured full of concrete, it's now able to hold up to the pressure from the outside. That's exactly what God is calling us to do as fathers. He's calling us to lay a foundation. He's calling us to fill ourselves with something that's a little bit stronger than what it was before. And it's not that there's not going to be pressure from the outside. It's that when that pressure comes, we know that we have something inside of us that's stronger than the pressure from the outside, right? Because that's what it's really all about. So this morning we're going to close with a song. I'll give you two guesses what it's going to be, and the first one doesn't count. But I want you to stand with me this morning. Here's the question that I have for you. Where are you this morning, Dad? Are you building a firm foundation for your home, or are you allowing the foundation underneath you to crumble away? If you are not the father that you need to be this morning, if you're not the mother that you need to be this morning, or the aunt or uncle or brother or sister, then I want you to know that while we're singing here today, this altar is open, and we will be happy to pray with you. But that is exactly what God has called us to do. He's called us to build a firm foundation for our household to live on, and that's exactly what we have to do. I can promise you this, nobody else is going to do it. If we don't do it, then nobody else will. 93%. If dad comes to Christ first, 93% chance that the rest of the household follows. That is astronomical. Think about that as we're singing this song together. Sing this last verse, I just want to say one other thing. It says, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. Here's what I want us to do this morning. If you are a dad, this is about dads this morning, so we'll just go that way. If you're a dad this morning and you're willing to stand up and say, it doesn't matter what happens, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and I am going to do everything within my power to make sure that I do not desert to the enemy. If you're a dad this morning and you want to say that as we're singing this song together, I want you to just come and stand around the front, and then we're gonna close with prayer, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor William. But that's what I want us to do this morning as we're singing together this last verse. Sing with me.
The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the word. Thank you that the foundations that you have laid for us are sure. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to wonder whether or not, as Pastor Tyler talked about the foundation of that rental house, we don't have to wonder if we have been filled with your power, with your presence. There's nothing in this world that can shake, that can move, that can overpower us as long as we're trusting on you. That doesn't mean everything that's happened is going to be good, Lord. It does mean that we do have a solid and a sure foundation. Lord, these men are standing before you this morning declaring to their families, they're declaring to the world that as for them and as for their house, they are determining to serve the Lord. And so, Lord, this morning, as over years past, as I have prayed for fathers, as they have stood before the altars of churches, I pray for these men today, asking you, God, that you would strengthen them, that you would help them, that you would make of them the men of God that you want them to be. And Lord, if there are situations and circumstances in our hearts, in our lives that would seek to pull us away from you, may we make determinations, even now, that we're going to follow you, that we're going to be what you want us to be as fathers, as grandfathers, as great-grandfathers. We are leaving a legacy, Lord. We're leaving a path that people are following. Oh God, I pray that the path might be unmistakable, that those who come behind us might not have to wonder which direction that we would go or that we would have gone had we been in that situation. Help them, oh God, to know because of the path that we are blazing, that we would follow you, and that that's what they should do as well. We rejoice and thank you for this time that we've had together. May you bless our dads today. May you bless those who are watching on Facebook this morning. May you bless those dads in various places where situations and circumstances may not be the best. May you strengthen them and help them. But may all of us, Lord, may all of us lean heavily and build our lives on the firm foundation that we have in Jesus. And so we thank you and we give you glory for this time that we've had together. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. Ladies and kids, isn't this a beautiful sight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Several years ago, a suggestion was made at Baton Rouge First for something to give the dads. And when it was made, I went, oh my goodness, if we do that, they will hang me up by my ears. And the next year we were going to go in a different direction, or I was kind of pushing them to go in a different direction, and had mutiny on my hands because the dad said, if we don't get that, we're not going to be happy. So men today, right behind you, right here, there are some that are for, there is sugar-free over here and there is regular over here. It is a dad's root beer just for you. And so, guys, we've got several diet because I knew that some do have those kind of issues. But as you're going back to your seat, they're all right here. Some of them are patting their stomachs over here. Like, what kind of issues are you talking about? As you leave this morning, be sure and grab one of these for you. This is our gift from you. Just to say thank you for being here. Thank you for your servant leadership in our church. We do appreciate it so much. Thank you, Pastor Tyler. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful for what God is doing through this young man. And I'm so thankful that God brought him our way. And after I led the singing this morning, now you understand why he does it. Amen. May God bless you. May you have a wonderful Father's Day. And remember, Vacation Bible School starts tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, 6 to 8:30. May God bless you. I hope you have a great day. Happy Father's Day, men. Be sure and get these before you go.